Welcome to my podcast. I'm Anna Tullemans, bringing you information, support and tips on all aspects of autism spectrum. Today's podcast is part two of a series of podcasts on how to share a diagnosis of autism spectrum. Today we'll be discussing sharing the diagnosis with family and friends, and further individual podcasts deal with sharing with the child, the grandparents and siblings. You'll find more information in my book Disclosing the Diagnosis, which is available on my website www.annatullemans.com.au. Each of the chapters gives specific ideas and encouragement on how to approach the topic of diagnosis and how to explain it in language that people will understand. It includes chapters for grandparents, siblings, extended family members, and the wider community such as schools. Remember that the following is just a starting point to give you ideas. It's not definitive by any means. You need to look at what approach will work best for you and your family. You know your family and friends best, so follow your instincts and it will be the right way for you. Some of what you hear today comes from personal experience when I was trying to explain the diagnosis to my family. My heritage is Italian, and firstborn sons can do no wrong. His behaviours were always blamed on my parenting skills. I did 3 triple P parenting courses before I realised it wasn't my fault that my son had so many behaviours in large family gatherings. People often ask whether they should share a diagnosis with family and friends, and my answer is always a very definitive yes. Sharing the diagnosis is about finding the right language to use that is appropriate and relevant to the people who are listening, and using the language that people will understand. When extended family and friends understand the diagnosis and how it affects your child, it can help them become mentors for your child and an ally for you. By understanding and learning how to interact with your child, family and friends can help teach communication and social skills. Part of this knowledge helps them to understand also that normal expectations can't necessarily apply to our children, and that family and friends will need to make adjustments and modifications so that they can enjoy their interactions with our children. Let's have a look at some things that you need to think about before you start sharing that information. First of all, choose words that you understand or terms that you can fully explain when questions are being asked. Use some written information that people can take home and reread. Choose carefully who you are going to tell. And then be prepared for negative reactions. Not everyone will agree with the diagnosis. So be prepared to find that some friends will never really understand and that some friendships may be lost to you. And that's okay, because there are plenty of people who do understand and who will stand by you. Always provide family and friends with some of the following. Clear, honest, and open information. Include a description of the challenges that your child faces. For example, John doesn't look you in the eye when you talk to him. If he does, it takes him so much concentration that he can't hear your words. Or you could say, Peter is not good at sharing his toys with Sammy yet, but we are teaching him about taking turns. It's just that his AS means that it takes him a little bit longer to learn how to do this. Or you could say, sometimes at family gatherings, Daniel has trouble playing with other children because there's so much noise and colour and smells, and he gets too excited. When this happens, he needs to go to a quiet place and be by himself for a while. Make sure that you always balance this with some of his positive skills. For example, John really reads really, really well. Or Johnny is really great at building things with Lego. Then you go on to explain some simple strategies that you already use and that are successful. For example, I use a picture book, which is a visual, when I need him to sit down and relax when he's a little bit overexcited. Or he's allowed to go to his room when things get too much for him. I would also give them some other strategies to use when the previous ones don't work. For example, maybe using a timer to show that an activity has finished and that he needs to go to his room now. Show them what to do when your child is having a meltdown. For example, depending on how big the meltdown is, but you might want to move everyone away, or you might want to move the child outside. And lastly, give them information on the telltale signs of when a meltdown is about to happen or when it's in that rumbling stage. For example, when I was working with a young man, he would often hum in a higher pitch before a meltdown. Normally he would hum all day every day, but before a meltdown, the hum just got that little bit higher in pitch. So that was one of those telltale signs. Once family and friends have got the information, here are some tips on how to go about getting them to reinforce it. First of all, encourage family and friends to discuss their fears, their disappointments, their confusion, and their concerns over your child. Offer friends a short list of internet resources or books or websites that you have found really useful. For you, don't insist on hugs and kisses if they're not part of a daily routine with friends and family. We want to be able to desensitize and teach, especially if this is part of your culture. And you can have a look at my book, The Fun Side of Asperger's, for ideas on how to teach giving hugs and cuddles to our autism spectrum children. And the book is also available on my website. There are also downloadable tip sheets that you can use too. Help family and friend to choose appropriate gifts to avoid sensory issues and explain why this is a sensory issue for your particular child. Teach family and friends the skills they need to know for family functions and get-togethers, and I'll talk and elaborate a little bit more on this a little bit further into the podcast. Remember that sometimes family and friends need reminding that some strategies will not work every day, and discuss with them the reasons why strategies don't always work. And you might be able to say, sometimes this strategy works best when, before the rumbling stage, those sorts of things. Always encourage them to modify any strategies to suit the situation, and always give family and friends encouragement for every effort they make, whether it worked or not. Everyone needs a pat on the back. When you are sharing the diagnosis, be guided by your instinct. You know your child best, and you know your family and friends. Be gentle with them too, as they don't live with autism spectrum in the house 24 hours a day like you do. In time, many will understand that you are doing the best for your child. Some of the things that I encourage my family to do were, first of all, to be consistent with any of the strategies they put into place. But if they forgot the strategies, I just encourage them to try to remember next time. I also tried to get them to use the same strategies as I had in my place, so this helped to provide that consistency for my child. I also encouraged them to ask for help when something went wrong or if the strategy didn't work. I also encouraged them to look up information on the internet and to pass it on to me. This way, we could discuss what was a good strategy and what wouldn't work in our family. One last thing to remember is that you can't change everyone's mind, so don't try to. Some people will understand and some won't. Don't waste valuable energy on people who can't or won't be educated. Maybe you just need to see these people less or in different social situations where your child is not around. There are plenty of people and family who do understand. If you can, join a support group or have coffee outings with people who will make adjustments for your child. I lost many friends over the years because they couldn't understand my son's behaviours, but my best friends now are people who encouraged me and the efforts I used to help my child, and people who understood that my son needed guidance rather than discipline for his behaviours. Over the years, our little family unit survived many family gatherings. Some were great. If you have a look at the cover of Disclosing the Diagnosis, you can see. But then others were not so great. In the book, you'll find ideas on how to attend family gatherings and events and make them both successful and positive experiences for the family, for you, and for your child. Now look, there are always going to be days when family just don't have the patience or the consistency and the routine that we need to set for our child. Or maybe they just don't remember to put strategies in place. But look, that's okay too. They may have their own problems that they're dealing with on that particular day. Just remember to smile and to laugh and to sometimes just walk away. Well, I hope you have enjoyed this podcast on sharing the diagnosis with family and friends. This is number 2 in a series of sharing the diagnosis with the child, grandparents, siblings, extended family and friends. If you'd like more detailed information on the topic or to purchase my book, Disclosing the Diagnosis, you can go to my website, annatullemans.com.au, or you can email me at any time. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.